Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, that works out just great, doesn't it? I just saw this report. I don't know if they just ran it in the Fox News radio update there. Might have missed one or two of the stories as I was walking down the hall to fill up my cup of coffee here. Usually I'll have the Montana Talks app on in the background so I can listen to the news while I refill coffee, but I was just kind of rushing a little bit. But I don't know if this story ran yet, but there's a story that shows that that basically since Joe Biden took power, since Joe Biden and John Tester took power of, well, our nation's power, that power prices, electricity prices, have increased 30%. 30% increase in electricity prices. Wow, how does that make you feel? Think about it. If you're somebody who's on a fixed income and you can't really afford a big increase in your power bill and your electric bill, but then what do Joe Biden and John Tester do? They give all these handouts, all these freebies, all these incentives for, by and large, white, wealthy liberals in California to purchase more electric vehicles. So wasting taxpayer resources to promote these things so that a bunch of wealthy white liberals, mostly in California and New York, can buy electric vehicles because they're just not reliable enough for most folks here in places like Montana and the Rocky Mountain West. So they give all of these taxpayer resources to prop up wealthy white liberals purchasing electric vehicles. What does that do? That drives up the demand for electricity. And meanwhile, they push policies, they push these Green New Deal policies, and their environmental activist buddies, you know, attack natural gas-fired power plants that we want to get up and running, therefore making it harder to get more electricity online and more reliable electricity online. So they increase the demand for electricity, and they lower the supply of electricity. And now electricity bills are up 30% all across America. What a bunch of freaking geniuses back there we've got in Joe Biden and John Tester. Give me a break. Anyway, here's the Fox News radio report that caught my eye just a few minutes ago.
Have you checked your electric bill lately? In the April CPI, gas went up 1.3%, food was up 2.2%, electricity topped them all at up 5%. And according to the experts, it's not just the president's fault. In addition to electric cars, data centers take a lot more power now. Cryptocurrency mining does too. Grid improvements, as well as something called AI, according to grid strategies consultant Rob Gramlich.
The most recent thing is artificial intelligence driving more data center demand than we thought we had, just because AI uses a lot of electricity. And so we weren't really planning for that.
In Philadelphia, I'm Jeff Flock.
There you go. Oh, AI drives a lot. Now, this would be where Mark Levin would say, throw out one of those Mr. Producer questions. Mr. Producer, who are some of the leading creators of AI, artificial intelligence? Isn't it like Google? Remember they came up with their racist Google AI platform, the Gemini program? Aren't they the same ones that lecture us about the environment, lecture us? And yet they're the ones that are driving up all this demand for electricity, but they lecture us about the climate and all this other garbage.
Securing America.
The Pentagon reflecting Monday on the efforts of American troops this past weekend in helping Israel shoot down just about all of the more than 300 missiles and drones launched towards Israel by Iran and its proxies Saturday night. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder.
It's pretty telling that Iran launched over 300 air threats, as I highlighted. And 99% of those were knocked down.
Ryder reiterating the United States' stance on conflict in the Middle East.
While the United States does not seek escalation, we will continue to take all necessary action to defend Israel and U.S. personnel.
He says relationships built over time were the key to successfully defending the attack.
Not only with Israel, but with countries throughout the region.
Adding that
those kinds of relationships and the ability to work together, to interoperate together, all played out and saved many lives.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. with a mix of clouds and sunshine developing today. High temperatures will range from around 57 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect cloudy skies along with some scattered rain showers developing in the Billings area. Rain showers turning to snow in the Bozeman area with low temperature readings about 28 with an inch or two in Bozeman, lows about 36 in Billings. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Almost cut the announcer guy off there already. Sorry about that there, tough guy. Is Trump riding a realignment wave? That was a story at thefederalist.com that caught my eye yesterday. Meant to get to it here because my initial reaction was he's not riding a realignment wave. He's the guy who created the wave pool. He's the guy who started the wave at the stadium. And now the wave is coming around the stadium right back to Donald J. Trump here in 2024. This is the question posed by JT Young at thefederalist.com. Is Trump riding a realignment wave? A recent Gallup poll showing a Democrats lead over Republicans with black voters, quote, has shrunk by nearly 20 points over the past 3 years, and their lead among Hispanics has dropped nearly as much. Gallup found that 66% of non-Hispanic black adults identify as Democrat or lean Democrat, while 47% of Hispanics do. Both are enormous drops from 2020 exit polling, which showed 87% of blacks and 65% of Hispanics voting for Biden. Far bigger than just a loss of support for Biden, these figures point to a significant shift of partisan loyalty within communities that have been overwhelmingly Democratic. In political terms, their shift signals a potential realignment. So this question is Trump riding a realignment wave? And I would argue, no, Donald Trump is the one who created that wave. Donald Trump is the one who started that wave. The question is, will the rest of the Republican Party and the conservative movement be able to catch that same wave? But not only that, but not only catch that same wave, but what do they do after 2024 when Donald J. Trump is no longer on the ballot? That, I think, has been one of the biggest, you know, frustrations, which is like, okay, you get all these Trump voters that will come out when Donald J. Trump is on the ballot. But then where do a lot of them go for midterm elections and for other important elections? And so that's going to be the key question, I think, you know, long term down the road is how does the conservative movement, you know, catch this realignment wave and not only just have it be just a temporary wave that comes to shore and then recedes, but leads to a permanent new conservative majority with huge new addition of black voters and Hispanic voters and others. Because really, we've seen now a contrast. We have seen how good things were under the Trump economic policies in particular and the Trump foreign policy. And now we've seen the disaster, which is the Joe Biden, John Tester policies. They've had full run. They've been running the table doing whatever the hell they want to do back there in Washington, D.C. And look at where it's got us. Look at where it's got us right now. So that's my hope, is that people now see, OK, we've got two directions. We've got two paths America can go down here. We can go down the path of the Trump years, prosperity, peace, or we can go down, you know, this path towards, you know, World War III. That Joe Biden and John Tester have us on right now through this policy of appeasement, through this policy of allowing, you know, America's enemies to have access to billions and billions of dollars that they then use to fund terror attacks. We've got, you know, a chance of death to America on American soil. We had a woman in front of Wall Street yesterday waving a Hezbollah flag, waving a terrorist flag. the Babylon Bee, and as the Babylon Bee always does so well, had a great satirical headline here, which makes the point perfectly about Joe Biden and John Tester's appeasement of the terrorists in Tehran. White House claims $6 billion to Iran, absolutely not related to the actually $6 billion, to the exactly $6 billion worth of rockets being fired into Israel. A great satirical headline by the Babylon Bee, which absolutely nails it here. But speaking of polling, apparently one of the latest polls shows Joe Biden, only 25% of the American people think that Joe Biden is doing a really good job for this country right now. Here's Kellyanne Conway last night on with Hannity.
Oh, it's terrible news. Poll after poll by any outlet basically says the same thing. What's important about the question you just showed, Sean, is the way that polling question is framed is precisely the way the question is framed by the voter as he or she goes into November. They're basically saying it's a binary choice. I can judge both Biden and Trump as presidents who have had a record on inflation, on the border, on crime, on Ukraine, on the Middle East, on anything they want to examine. They're going to compare that. That's a 30-point differential. Joe Biden is negative 21, 25 mostly good, 42 mostly bad, 46 mostly bad. Donald Trump is plus 9. It's a 30-point differential. And it's also reflected in the swing state polls. What this says to me as a pollster is voters are mostly nostalgic about, hungry for, and poised to vote and support the Donald Trump presidency again this fall. I think Trump 2024 is the best of 2016. Reince and I were there. The hunger, the swagger, the underdog, underestimated Donald Trump with that four-year record as president. And people, you know, the Democrats are going to overplay it on abortion on January 6, 2021. We've had January 6, 2022, 23, 24 since then. And voters are saying every single January 6 since then, I've been less prosperous, less safe, more nervous, and things just seem more chaotic, more crisis-ridden, and less fair to me and my family.
All right. A lot to come here after the Farm and Ranch Report and this upcoming news and weather break here. An Iranian activist calls out these supporters of Iran, or at least of the Islamic Republic of Iran, here on American soil, saying you are no friend to the Iranian people. Play a part of that for you. Plus, Peter Doocy calls out the White House.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond. Well, it seems that farmers and ranchers always get the blame when things go wrong, specifically with the environment. Well, for those of us in agriculture, we know that we take care of our natural resources. And new data released this month from the Environmental Protection Agency shows that agriculture actually decreased greenhouse gas emissions in 2022. The EPA recently released the inventory of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and sinks from 1990 to 2022. Danny Munch with the American Farm Bureau explains the results.
Overall, greenhouse gas emissions from all sources increased by 1.3% between 2021 and 2022, though agricultural emissions dropped 1.8%, and that's the largest decrease of any economic sector.
2022 marks the lowest U.S. agricultural greenhouse gas emissions since 2012. The EPA categorizes agricultural emissions by crop cultivation, livestock, and fuel combustion that occurs in the business.
Crop cultivation emissions were down 6 million metric tons from 2021. When we look at livestock, they were down 2.1% or 6 million metric tons from 2021. Emissions from fuel combustion in ag were down 1 million metric tons or 1.2%.
The data also shows the productivity gains in agriculture.
While the U.S. population has grown by over 80 million since 1990, per capita agricultural emissions have dropped 20%. And when you adjust that for total productivity gains, it drops to 25% over the 20-year period.
Another example of farmers and ranchers growing food and fiber to feed and clothe the world and taking care of that world along the way. This is the Western Ag Network.
This year's Montana Range Tour is headed for Stanford June 20th. Participants will learn how to apply sustainable grazing, soil health, and conservation practices from 2023 Leopold Conservation winner Kurt and PJ Millimackey. renowned soil health expert Gabe Brown will join as the guest speaker, highlighting the benefits of regenerative agriculture practices. Meals and transportation will be provided. But hurry, registration ends June 4th. Visit dnrc.mt.gov/rangeland to register today. Treasure Bull Test is your source of high-quality performance-tested cowboy kind Black Angus bulls. Tuesday, April 16th, 110 athletic, masculine, long-sided, and heavily muscled bulls that stand on good bone and sound feet sell at Western Livestock Auction in Great Falls, Montana. Measured for every important performance and carcass trait, all the while being developed for the most critical purebred breeder and commercial cattlemen alike. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also broadcast on Northern Livestock Video. For more information, visit treasurebulltest.com.
Well, farmers across the country are having a busy but speedy planting season so far this year.
Just about everywhere, you know, where you would expect there to be field work, not only are they in the fields, but they're doing better than last year in the five-year average pace.
That's USDA Chief Meteorologist Mark Brusberg, who says that corn planting is moving right along, doubling from last week's 3% to 6% this week. But that's the national average. Some states are well ahead of that.
Some of the states in the Midwest are really making remarkable progress,
especially in Missouri.
26% of the Missouri crop is in the ground, compared with 7% last week, so they really jumped, taking advantage of that dry weather.
Make sure and join us a little bit later today on our midday Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, where we will discuss more about the condition of our winter wheat crops across the region. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flynn.
Oh, man. I got to get to some of these things that caught my eye via Twitter or via X. This is hysterical. Liberal Senator John Tester. I don't know why his campaign thought this was a good photo to share. They share this photo with this, you know, this phony little message behind it, coming from the flip-flop flat top, and it's something to the effect of, you know, in Montana your handshake is everything. And so it's got the flip-flop flat top there, who has never been true to his word, constantly flip-flops all over the place just to get reelected. Everything he campaigned against in 2006, like against the national debt, you name it. He has continued to rack up, you know, I mean, piles and piles of national debt since that point. We could go on. But anyway, in this photograph, you know, in Montana, your handshake means everything. And he's got his hand reached out and he's at some pub, you know, some brewery or something like that, because there's a guy sitting there with both hands on his beer, just kind of looking over at him. And the guy's not reaching out his hand to shake John Tester's hand. He's just like, what the heck are you doing talking to me, man? It's just hysterical that his campaign thought to share that photograph, because that photograph is a symbol of the distrust that Montanans have with this fake, phony, flip-flop, flat-top John Tester. Anyway, let's jump into it here. Let's see. Peter Ducey, you know, what is the policy? What is the Biden doctrine when it comes to foreign policy? The Biden doctrine, if you can sum it up in one word, is don't. Don't. Well, apparently don't work, because Iran just launched this unprecedented attack against Israel over the weekend. Anyway, here's Peter Ducey questioning White House spokesman John Kirby.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars
for Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? But where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it. and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this this unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the Supreme Leader of the IRGC. It can only be used for humanitarian purposes, and we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
Oh, yeah, sure, Kirby. What unfreezing of funds? Man, speaking of no credibility and a complete a lack of trust of the American people, there you go. That guy.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The House is sending articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate today. House Speaker Mike Johnson on Fox.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and Secretary Mayorkas is, in my view, the worst cabinet secretary that has ever served in the history of the United States.
Accused of not enforcing immigration law and lying to Congress about the state of border security, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer could move to dismiss the charges that Democrats call a political stunt. The Supreme Court hears arguments today over whether a federal obstruction law is being properly used in Capitol riot cases.
More than 300 people are facing the same obstruction charge over their alleged actions on January 6. The case could have implications on former President Trump's legal case in Washington over his alleged actions to overturn the 2020 election results.
Fox's Ryan Smales. More prospective jurors for former President Trump's criminal trial in New York are being questioned today. Nobody's chosen yet. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, we got some messages on our Montana Talks app to share with you, plus phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. This one came in from AB in Billings yesterday afternoon. Let's see, Aaron, I am watching these pro-Hamas protests across the country, and I see watermelon balloons everywhere. Evidently, the watermelon has been adopted as a symbol for protest against the Israel-Hamas war. Reminds me of when Rush referred to the green movement as watermelons. Green on the outside and red, meaning Marxist, on the inside. Seems appropriate. Yeah, it really does, doesn't it, Anton? I haven't seen these watermelon balloons. I haven't seen that angle, but I do remember the concept of watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside. There was a great author out of Libby, Montana, who actually wrote, co-authored a whole book about that, about how the environmental movement was green on the outside but Marxist red on the inside. All right, couple callers on the phone lines. First up, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. I have a news story and also a quick comment. This has to do with Harvard University, which was established September 8, 1636 in Cambridge, Massachusetts by 17,000 colonists. It was actually started for clergymen, but it is our oldest institution of the higher education. And now I want to tell you this, that Harvard has really gone woke and progressive. Recently, they just made a congresswoman, Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, the head of their astronomy class, and I cannot believe this. This dingbat, don't get me started. I mean, this woman is so far left and nutty. I mean, she's, you know, I'm sure you've all seen her. She's the woman that wears all these elaborate, glittery cowgirl hats, you know, down in Texas. So it's just a damn shame about where our education is heading in this country. Ever since 1979, when the peanut farmer Jimmy Carter, the Democrat Jimmy Carter, federalized our education, it's just been going downward. And my comment is this. I have met, you know, Elsie Artson and Cheryl Allen. And they're both such dedicated women to education. So I think education here in Montana has a chance. Elsie and Cheryl Allen is running to take Elsie's former position as superintendent of our schools here in Montana. They're fantastic women. I know Cheryl has done a lot of work on Indian reservations, including with the Navajo people, and they will be just absolutely wonderful. I can't tell you how to vote, but I'm going to suggest that you consider these two women to elect them into positions here in Montana, because we cannot continue this. I mean, the Chinese are telling their students that 57% of American students cannot read and write.
And look at what the Chinese are doing to American students with their TikTok app. All right. Nancy, great to hear from you. Steve and Ballantyne coming up right after the break.
How are you?
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, quick clarification, the story about Sheila Jackson Lee, that was actually, I believe, a Babylon Bee headline. Sheila Jackson Lee, picked by Harvard to lead astronomy department. That was a Babylon Bee headline. Because I was laughing when I heard that. Because if you guys hadn't seen it, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, who joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour, he'll be with us later today. Yeah, he actually shared this video. It was real video of Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, you know, one of the far left racist Democrats. And remember when the solar eclipse happened? Was that a week ago or is that 2 weeks ago now? The time just flies when you're having fun, right? But anyway, he shared video of Sheila Jackson Lee trying to put on the solar eclipse glasses. And boy, was she having a rough go at it. She was having a tough time. She could not get those things on right. It's no different than wearing normal sunglasses, right? I don't know why she's having such a tough time. So that's why Babylon Bee had their satirical headline about Sheila Jackson Lee picked to lead the astronomy department at Harvard. You just watch. That satirical headline's going to come true, and they're going to add that to their list of fulfilled prophecies on the Babylon Bee spreadsheet there. They're at over 100. Last time we checked, they were at 104 when Seth Dillon, the CEO of the Babylon Bee, was here in Montana. All right, back in the phone lines we go. Steve in Ballantyne, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron. This absurd court deal with Stormy Daniels, you know, that's going to go on. The judge, which actually should recuse himself because his daughter is involved in the Democrat Party stuff. But anyway, you know, he's putting that gag order on him. You know, you can't say anything, can't open your mouth, but you got to be there every day at this court thing. So anyone out there that's with Trump, this is my solution, is he should just go ahead and get his venues lined up, send Melania, send Junior, send someone to his, you know, to the rallies, and then Zoom himself, you know, from wherever he's at, staying there in New York City. And when he gets to the parts to, you know, do a speech, and when he gets to the parts to where he's got his gag order on, he should just stop and let one of his family members continue the statement and then go back and doing his campaign. And because the gag order, apparently, they say he can't say anything. Well, didn't say his family couldn't say it.
So you're thinking since this judge is kind of trying to force Donald J. Trump to sit in court for this kangaroo court process in New York City, just do a live feed for all of these Trump rallies, and then the crowd can cheer him on from the live feed from the courtroom. I like that idea. Did you see that this judge wouldn't even say whether or not he will allow Donald Trump, President Trump, to attend his own son's graduation? Apparently, Barron Trump graduates high school next month, I think it is. And the judge won't even say whether or not he's going to allow President Trump to go watch his son graduate high school. These people are disgusting.
You know, if you can't see in front of your eyes, this is total political. It's total. They've had, what they say, 8 years to do this. Or whatever, it's been dragging on, and now they're just doing it now during campaign when he's hot. But no, I think he just needs to go to a nice little venue after he gets out of court and go stand in front of some cameras and do a live feed to his rally and just let Melania or Junior say something when the important stuff has got to be said. Let them say it, because the judge said that he can't say it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, and I've got audio here from Alina Haba, President Trump's attorney, talking about the sad state of affairs for the American people. I do think the American people see through it, as you pointed out. Steve, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's see, I think, let me make sure I got the right phone line here, since sometimes the phone lines get a little mixed up. Let's go to Tom in Billings. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Morning. Love listening to you. Just wanted to say that this is all political theater, you know. Anthony Blinken Hell, I wouldn't even put him in charge of a Coast Guard cutter. But, you know, he served under Not Obama. Overboard. He's trying to tell everybody that, oh, Iran's not going to give this money to nuclear research. They're going to give it to the people. They're terrorists. This is all political theater. The Democrats do this all the time. John Tester does it all the time. 1 minute he's for Montana, the next minute he's shutting down pipelines. It's all political theater.
That's right.
Everybody needs to just kind of just voters need to wake up. They need to get angry, but not violent.
Yeah.
But get educated and vote your intelligence, not your heart. That's what I'm asking everybody to do.
Well, I think more and more, I think their hearts are with President Trump and with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy as well. And they see, look, when they see the same fake news press like the Washington Post launch these fake news attacks against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, they know it's the same fake news press that ran fake news story after fake news story going after Donald Trump. And just like you see this political persecution going on against Donald J. Trump, look, you're going to see the same, fake news press going after Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And then you're going to see all these fake, phony campaign commercials from John Tester and Chuck Schumer. And the left and their out-of-state liberal donors, they're going to have more money. So you're going to get flooded with more of their BS. And you just have to know that every time you see John Tester on TV or one of these Chuck Schumer attack ads, you can't trust a stinking word coming out of either of their mouths. They're just straight full of it. John Tester is so full of it. Everybody should be on to his game by now. Tom, thanks for the call. Tim in Billings next up. Tim, good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. I wanted to touch on a subject you were talking about yesterday. You know, you brought up the attack ads on Mr. Sheehy and the PPE loan or the PPP loans that he took out, which contractually say that as long as you keep everybody employed, if your business has been affected by COVID, which you tell me is business that was not affected by COVID, and I got a bridge to sell you, you know, those loans would be forgiven. So I want to know, I want clarification from the Democrats on what their stance on loan forgiveness is, because if you're a business owner and you follow the agreement that you've signed as an adult, And you give forgiveness on those loans by providing jobs, they're upset about that. But if, as an adult, you sign a student loan and continue to take out money year after year after year to become a college or a career college student, and then you get a degree in underwater basket weaving that will pay you 50 cents an hour, you're supposed to be able to get those loans forgiven because you don't provide any benefit to anybody else in society. You don't provide jobs. You don't do anything that's beneficial to the rest of humanity. I mean, you could go become a overqualified fast food worker, you know, with your underwater basket degree. But I would really love for the Democrats to clarify their position on loan forgiveness, because they seem to be talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Oh yeah. Well, see, hiring veterans, giving veterans great jobs when they get out of military service or come back from an deployment, fighting fires, saving people's homes as an aerial firefighter, that's all bad if you're a Democrat. They want you sitting on the couch not doing anything. They don't want veterans to be successful. They want veterans to be victims. They want veterans to be another victim class that has to go begging the government for help anytime they need it, so that they're dependent on big government politicians like these Washington fat cats like John Tester, so they can live high on the hog back in Washington while the rest of us pay for it all and suffer. Right? Tim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John Tester's racked up $1.2 million in restaurant bills at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. He's living high on the hog. Some of you thinking, man, I want to live a little high on the hog. Well, I'll tell you what. I was at the Montana Sky restaurant, and, man, you feel like you're living high on the hog there because the food's good, the steaks are great, and you got a great view. I mean, you're high up on the 20th floor of the Doubletree Hotel in downtown Billings. You can see the beautiful view that I've got right now looking out over the Beartooth Mountains here on this sunny morning. You can get that view over breakfast. They do breakfast from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. while we're on the radio here, and then they do dinner. And here's the deal, though. You don't need John Tester's $1.2 million Washington fat cat money to live high on the hog there, because the prices, they've actually got affordable prices, too, with good food and an incredible view. A new chef, new kitchen team. I'd encourage you, go check out the Montana Sky Restaurant, 20th floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings. You know, especially for those of you who don't make it to Billings that often, maybe you travel for sporting events or for a convention here or there, great opportunity to get that great view that you've heard me talk about before.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You look at these images and the people that are out protesting in cities around the country and shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and other areas and other cities around the country. This is the base that Joe Biden now finds himself in needing if he has any political ambition to win this election. This is why, you know, Israel, the worst terrorist attack in their history. You know, 1,200 people killed, you know, hundreds of others taken hostage. And what have we been hearing from this administration? Oh, we need a truce. Oh, Israel's too aggressive in fighting their war on terror. No lectures have been given to Hamas, the terrorist organization. This was an unprovoked attack, killing innocent men, women, and children.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
With everything going on in the world today, the war, the inflation, the geopolitical tensions, $33 trillion in national debt, it's no wonder people are looking to diversify their savings with gold and silver. But who does Sean Hannity choose for his gold and silver? None other than the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner with over 5,000 five-star reviews, and they've helped thousands of Americans place over $2 billion in gold and silver. They're Sean Hannity's top choice. And right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver for Sean Hannity listeners. But it's first come, first served, and only while supplies last. So don't wait. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD. 815-GOLD.
6-201-6263.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Stephen Ballantyne mentioned the yet another phony trial, a political persecution taking place against President Trump. Let me see here, give you a little bit of a scene setter here before I play this audio of Trump attorney Alina Haba. Yeah, former President Trump's hush money trial getting underway with jury selection in New York City Monday. The former president's legal spokeswoman, Alina Haba, once again reaffirming her client is innocent of any wrongdoing and asserting this is another political attack to keep Trump from running for office in November. She was on with Hannity last night. Here's part of what Alina Haba had to say on Hannity's show last night.
I think there's a couple facts that the American people need to know. You mentioned that Cy Vance didn't bring this case because he knew it was a loser case. The statute of limitations had run, and it was based on the now debunked former attorney, Michael Cohen. So what ends up happening, Sean, let's talk about a key part of history here. President Trump announced that he was running for office again. And sure enough, D.A. Bragg indicts. You just played D.A. Bragg's video footage, much like Miss James, who you and I have spoken many times about, who are these Soros-backed, politically motivated people who come out and say, I know Trump well, I'm going to do it again. I did the Trump case, I did that case. Listen, Judge Mershon, Sean, the judge that's hearing this, did the Allen Weisselberg case, put him in jail, not once, twice. You know who else Judge Mershon's having? Steve Bannon. He has Steve Bannon's case. This is no coincidence, and the American people need to know, and for the next 6 weeks, I assure you, I will be loud and clear about what is going on here. This is political. It's election interference. You're not even allowing a father, never mind a former president, but a father attend his son's graduation. And let's not forget Passover, okay? Observant Jews have a right to go and pray to who they want and observe Passover. And this judge would not allow it, not for any of the attorneys. And there are observant Jewish attorneys on the Trump team and as well on the DA team. It's just a sad state of affairs for the American people. I can assure you of that.
All right. Yeah. Now, Charlie Kirk, I was trying to see where I put it in a related note to this story. Let me go to my Twitter page here, x.com/AaronFlint. It's right in front of me. Of course it is. Of course it's right in front of me here. You guys know what a mess my studio gets to be here because we try to read as many different sources as possible. So I've got articles kind of strewn all over the place, especially about six or seven fresh new articles on our Montana Talks website for you right now as well. But here you go. Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. Here's what he shared less than 24 hours ago. The left believes that by putting Trump on trial in New York and convicting him, they will finally disqualify and discredit Trump from the presidency. They're wrong. This trial does not discredit Trump. Instead, it discredits one of the only effective institutions America has left, the criminal justice system. Americans think their Congress is corrupt, their military is a joke, their business elites will sell them out, their schools are insane, and their media is dishonest and morally bankrupt. But largely, they have continued to trust our police and our court system with its jury trials. But now, Alvin Bragg is putting a president on trial for completely novel charges. Trump is accused in state court of covering up a federal crime that he has never even been charged with. This is unprecedented and transparently politically motivated. This case would never be brought against anyone except Trump. The left's hate is so profound that they will destroy everything in America for the sake of getting their target. I would add to what Charlie Kirk said, to say this, that Donald Trump isn't their only target. The left, the radical left in America, hates America. America is their target. Remember, they want to transform America into something else, attacking every institution and especially our justice system as part of that.
The Montana Economic Minute.
Does it really matter who's elected this fall? Seems like a crazy time to ask that question, but there's a sense in which the personal drama of one candidate versus the other means less than you think, because some have said that the end of an era is upon us, and whoever is in charge in the coming years will face an economic environment that's changed. Those kinds of predictions have failed in the past, but consider these trends. Demographics is shrinking the working age population in comparison to retired. The imbalance between rising entitlements and tax revenue doesn't heed the political party in power. This will arguably stop the rise in expansion and progressive policies that began in earnest 90 years ago, regardless of who sits in the White House. And it's no better in other developed countries. Another shift is in globalization. Politically, the shift away from trade is apparent, and the freedom of navigation that fueled low-cost goods and opportunities from global markets may be ending as well. It's hard to see how these trends will bow to the whim of the next president. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.